The following program is in no way representative of the high-quality programming usually heard on the Maverick Radio Network. The views expressed and fishing techniques demonstrated are not endorsed by this station. The following is not a news broadcast. Together, yo.
Oh, I have it together big time.
Hey, man. Hey.
Hey, man. Hey.
Hey, man. Hey.
Yeah?
Welcome to the Five Count.
Welcome.
How are you?
Who are you asking me
this?
Yes,
I am. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
You look good.
Hot.
I'll second that.
I am, like, it's hot in here. I'm glad there's a fan. This is ridiculous.
Ton.
Yeah?
We've been on the air almost 9 years.
Almost
there's
nine
lots
years.
Of fans.
Yes!
They're everywhere.
Man, you are good.
Except for those people that just left.
They're not our fans.
Viva Las Rascals.
Viva Las Rascals. Did they even say it? Did they say it? Did you hear them say it?
I don't know. But maybe next week we'll mention it officially.
We'll mention something officially. You're
but until
have to stay
then,
tuned.
We will just say, smell you later, Rascals.
Smell you later, Taco Boys.
We got some big doings tonight.
Listen, tonight is ridiculous. I was not messing around. Do you remember, Dust, earlier this year when I was like, huh, you thought last year was awesome? Wait till you get a load of this.
Oh, yeah.
It's no joke.
This is the summer of Five Count.
Yeah, big time.
It's been ridiculous. Even the past couple weeks, it's just been like, what do you do?
I don't even know. I'm like beside myself with all the stuff that's going on.
Well, let me tell you this then, Ton.
Yeah.
Fasten your seatbelt, because we have an exclusive interview tonight with the one and only Crispin Glover.
Yes! It is my density.
It is your density to tune in tonight. It has popped you to us.
Yes! This is awesome. This guy, this is like right up our alley, this guy. This is the whole reason why we do this show, is to get interviews with guys like this.
Now, if you've checked our beautiful website, thefivecount.com,
mm-hmm.
you would have seen that we had a chance to speak with Crispin Glover. He was on tour with his big slideshow. He was in Minnesota this week. We had a chance to talk to him before his show. We put a little teaser on the website, and tonight we're going to play the entire exclusive interview with Crispin Glover.
Now, I don't think that this guy really talks to many people, does he?
I'm not sure that he does. I think he picks and chooses the coolest and handsomest interviewers that he can find.
Mm-hmm.
Hence us.
Yeah, obvious choice.
So here it is.
Awesome.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're going to turn that fan off, and then we are going to play some Crispin Glover tunes, and then he's going to call us. So we'll be back after these important announcements from Crispin Glover here on the Five Count.
A sound, then I turned around and I saw a clown, had a frown, stood on a mound, started barking like a hound. When I came to it, I found he showed me something that was brown, so we became great friends and and late in life, he got sick. I gave him some soup, but he got worse. It asked for its purse. It got it, but it was empty, so it cried aplenty. I wondered what to do. I didn't know what to think, so I got a drink. And then I showed it something that was round. Then it died, smiled, fell on the ground. Thinking back about those days with the clown, I get teary-eyed and really snide. I think that deep down, I hated that clown, but not as much as Mr. Farr. I'm gonna go smoke a cigar. I was walking on the ground, I didn't make a sound, and then I turned around, I saw a clown. Clowny clown, clown. I hate you, clown, with your ugly frown, smiley lips. I think I'll clip you across the nose, clown. Want the cigar? I'll get you real far. Like Mr. Farr. Get it? Mr. Farr? Clown. Clown. See what a cigar will do? Clown. Ugly clown. Sheer nervousness balances the door shut back and forth in the hut. Machine for the telephone. Is Dad? I've been had, I've been had, I've been had, 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 had. All the nervousness is in my sheets. Where is my concubine? It's just been released. Where is my concubine? Where is my shrine to me from my concubine? Where is my shrine to me from my concubine or even three? And then the shishan dots. Where is my concubine? Where is my concubine? Am I Don Johnson or Swanson? And Swanson, these sheets are heavy. The races must form an alliance. Where is my concubine? Nervousness is fine. The sheets must be lifted carefully from ends of the corners evenly. Just smooth and curdial, this nervousness is virginal.
Greetings from Tromaville. I'm Lloyd Kaufman, president of Troma Entertainment and creator of The Toxic Avenger. You know, folks, when the Troma team is not making those great movies like Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, and Romeo and Juliet, we like to kick back and listen to The Five Count, the best entertainment there is.
A man once was happy, but now he's forlorn. Like an old coat that is tattered and torn. Left in this wide world to weep and to mourn. Betrayed by a maid in her teens. Oh, this maid that he loved, she was handsome. And he tried all he knew her to please. But he never could please her one quarter so well as the man on the flying trapeze. I float through the air with the greatest of ease, the daring young man on the flying trapeze. My actions are graceful, all girls I do please, and his love I purloineth away. I play with the mist like the cat with the mouse. My eyes would undress every maid in the house. Perhaps I am better described as a louse, but still people come just the same. I smile from the bar on the people below, and one night I smile on his love. She blew me a kiss and she hollered bravo as I hung by the bar from above. I float through the air with the greatest of ease, the daring young man on the flying trapeze. My actions are graceful, all girls I do please, and his love I purloineth away. Some months after that, he came into a hall. To his surprise, he found there on the wall a bill in red letters, which did his heart gall. But she was appearing with me. I taught her gymnastics and dressed her in tights to help me live at my ease. I made her take on a masculine name, and now she goes on the trapeze. I float through the air with the greatest of ease, the daring young man on the flying trapeze. My actions are graceful, all girls I do please, and his love I purloineth.
Thank you. the two of us need look no more. We both found what we were looking for. With a friend to call my own, I'll never be alone. And you, my friend, will see you've got a friend in me.
You've got a friend in me.
Ben, you're always running here and there. You feel you're not wanted anywhere. If you ever look behind and don't like what you find, there's something you should know. You've got a place to go.
You've got a place to go.
I used to say, I and me. Now it's us. Now it's we. I used to say, I and me. Now it's us. Now it's we. Ben, most people would turn you away.
Turn you away.
I don't listen to a word they say. I'm sure they think again they have a friend like Ben. A friend like Ben. A friend like Ben.
A friend like Ton.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks. Hi.
Thanks, Dust.
Welcome back to the Five Count.
Thank you.
Hey, that's no problem. Those were some songs by Crispin Glover.
Beautiful.
If you didn't know, Crispin Glover will be on the program tonight.
Yes. Yes, he will.
We had a discussion with Crispin Glover earlier this week because he was in town with his big slideshow, which if you want to follow him around the country, he's still on tour.
Yeah, he's still on tour. Obvious choice. He wanted to talk to us because he knew that this show would be the best way to get the word out.
It would reach the largest audience of hip, cool dudes.
Well, should we get it going here?
All right. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Thanks for tuning in to The Five Count. Check us out at thefivecount.com, iTunes, and all that stuff so you don't miss any of these fantastic shows in the future. Right now, here is our exclusive interview with Crispin Glover, KMSU.
Hi, this is Crispin calling. How are you doing?
I am excellent. How are you?
Good, good, thank you. Is it a good time to do the interview?
Yes, this is the perfect time. Glad we have you on the phone here.
Great.
First of all, I want to introduce you to my co-host, Tun.
Hey there, how are you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm glad we got you here. If you're ready, we'll just go ahead and get started.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
All right, great. Well, I guess, can you talk to us a bit about how you got started in acting?
Well, I started acting professionally when I was 13. I got an agent when I was 13 years old. My father's an actor, and my mother retired as a dancer and an actress when I was born. So I'd grown up around the industry, and I basically understood how it would work. It wasn't something I was pushed into by my parents at all. It was my own decision, kind of a prudent business decision, really. And it sounds a bit funny, but 13 is actually kind of an older age for starting as a child actor. But it was a good age to start taking things seriously to become, a young adult actor. And I worked a little bit as a teenager, not a lot. But then I started working a lot more when I turned 18 and the child labor laws started working in my favor. And that's when I started working in film quite a bit.
Yeah, you were doing a lot of stuff around that time. You know, you did a lot of TV shows, Happy Days and Family Ties. And I know you were in a Friday the 13th movie. And one thing we wanted to ask you about is your appearance in the Beaver Trilogy film when you were the Orkley kid. Can you tell us a bit about what that was like?
Yeah, it's kind of a strange thing because the film that I did was called The Orkley Kid. I did it at the AFI. It was a half-hour film shot on 16-millimeter film, and it's a film I'm quite proud of. The director recut, as I understand it, it's in its entirety, but he was at the AFI, they do a first and second year project. And the first year project, he'd made essentially another variation of the same movie with Sean Penn playing the same part, that had been shot on video. He had intermixed it with a documentary that he'd shot even earlier on a television kind of news station that did documentaries on interesting people. And I'm kind of telling it backwards, but that was what he shot first. It was a documentary on a fellow who kind of considered himself an impressionist, but there was a kind of a strange story of him dressing up as Olivia Newton-John and doing impressions of her, and a very interesting character. It was a very well-made documentary. And then Sean Penn had done the first-year project version of it on video, and then I ended up doing the second-year project version of it on film. And the filmmaker has recut those different pieces together all into a new, feature-length piece that he calls the Beaver Trilogy. I had seen all of the various projects. I've never seen the whole thing edited together, but they're all really good. I'm proud of that movie. The version that I did, the one Sean Penn did, was excellent, and the original documentary was really fascinating. So I'm sure it's an interesting amalgamation of the three pieces. I think mine is the last one in its entirety, and I'm not quite sure how the other two portions were edited together.
Now, speaking of trilogies, can you talk to us a bit about, I guess, how you ended up landing the Back to the Future films? And
I should clarify something. Whenever people put it in that context, I was only in the first film. I was in Back to the Future. I was not in the sequel to Back to the Future. There was a person that was put into prosthetics that were taken from the molds of my face that were used for the old age makeup. And they utilized the molds of my face in order to put prosthetics onto another actor in order to make him look like me, and then interspliced a very small amount of footage of me from the original film with this other actor in order to fool audiences into believing that I was in the film. There was a lawsuit about it. Because of my lawsuit, there are rules in the Screen Actors Guild that make it so producers are not allowed to do something like that again. What they did was illegal. And it's disturbing to me, of course, because people still do ask me questions like you just asked, where they believed that I was in the trilogy of films, but I was not. I was only in the first film.
Well, can you tell us a bit about, playing George McFly, or some of your memories of being on the set of that first movie?
Well, actually, I can, but I, you know, what I'm promoting here, of course, today is the fact that I'm touring with my shows and films.
Sure.
And I have a number of shows that are coming up. People can find out about the details of where I'm going to be with my feature films and my live shows that I am touring with by going on to CrispinGlover.com. I was just in Kentucky, and I'm in Minnesota right now. I have a show June 3rd, Monday, and June 4th, Tuesday, at the Heights Theater in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Then June 7th, I have two shows, June 7th and June 8th, I have two shows at the Museum of Arts and Design in Manhattan, New York. And then on June 11th and 12th, I have two shows at the Alamo Drafthouse in Kansas City, Missouri. And then I have two shows at the Alamo Drafthouse in Littleton, Colorado, or Denver, Colorado, June 20th and 21st. And then I'm back again in New York City at the in Manhattan at the IFC June 24th and 25th. And just so people know what I'm doing is I've directed two different feature films, and I present the two different feature films on subsequent nights. I perform a live show before I perform two different live shows before the two different feature films. The live shows are called Crispin Hillian Glover's Big Slideshow Part 1 and Part 2. What these consist of is I've taken old books from the 1800s and reworked them and turned them into different books from what they originally were. And they're profusely illustrated. So virtually every page has an illustration on them, and they're projected behind me, and I dramatically narrate eight different books for each show. It's an hour-long show. Then after I perform the live portion of the show, I show the feature film. What is it? It's 72 minutes. And the second film, It Is Fine, Everything Is Fine, is 74 minutes. And again, I show each of those films on subsequent nights. Then after that, I have a Q&A, which is usually goes over an hour. And then I have a book signing of some of the books that I've published that are in the live show. So it's a long show, but it's something I'm proud of. I should talk a little bit about the content of the films. The first film, What Is It? Most of the actors in the film have Down syndrome, but the film's not about Down syndrome at all. What it really is my psychological reaction to the corporate constraints that have happened in the last 30 years of filmmaking, wherein anything that can possibly make an audience member uncomfortable is necessarily excised, or that film will not be corporately funded or distributed. And I think that's a very damaging thing, because it's that moment when an audience member sits back in their chair, looks up at the screen and thinks to themselves, is this right what I'm watching? Is this wrong what I'm watching? Should I be here? Or should the filmmaker have done this? What is it? And that's the title of the first film. What is it that's taboo in the culture? What does it mean when the taboo has been ubiquitously excised? The second film, there was a man, I had actually read a screenplay before I started making the first film by this man named Stephen C. Stewart, who'd been born with a severe case of cerebral palsy. And when he was in his early 20s, his mother died. And he was put into a nursing home where he really did not want to be. And Steve was difficult to understand. And the people that were taking care of him at the nursing home would derisively call him an MR, a mental retard, which is not a nice thing to say to anybody. But Steve was of normal intelligence, and the emotional turmoil that he must have gone through, I can't even begin to imagine. But when he got out, he wrote this screenplay in the style of a 1970s TV murder mystery movie of the week, wherein he's the bad guy. And something about the fact that he wrote it in this genre style as opposed to a standard autobiography makes certain dynamics of the truths of his life come out. And I'm very proud of this film. When the whole trilogy is done, the best film of the trilogy will probably, well, it'll be It Is Fine, Everything Is Fine, Steve's film. But not only that, I think it'll be the best film I'll have anything to do with in my whole career, and I'm quite proud of the film.
Yeah, it seems like for at least the last 5 or 6 years or so, you've been touring around with these films.
Eight. I've been touring. I'm on year eight. I've been touring since 2005 with the films. It's a huge part of my life.
So then, do you think the new one will be set to start filming soon, or do you plan on touring with these for a while then?
Yeah, I'll be continuing to tour. I've been building sets. I own property in the Czech Republic. I've got an old chateau that was built in the 1600s. Next to it is a horse stables, which I've converted into places for building sets and shooting. I've been having the sets specifically built for the next project I'm going to shoot for about a year and a half. This will not be part three of the trilogy. It's going to be many years before I get to that. I've been working on this thematic trilogy since 1996, so it's a long time, and I need to step away and do some other films that don't have to do with this theme. My father, like I said, is an actor, and he and I have never acted together before. So I've been developing something for he and I to play a series of fathers and sons. And this is what the sets are being built for, is that particular project. Although the sets are actually kind of like more like a backlot that is that I'll probably utilize to shoot other films on at a certain point.
Yeah, definitely sounds like you're keeping busy with stuff then. Is it okay if we ask you a question about something you've done in the past here?
Okay, sure.
Well, we are big fans of the album that you had put out, The Big Problem Does Not Equal the Solution. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was recorded in about 1986, or came out in 88 or 9. Maybe it was, we started recording it in 87. It took a little while to make that. I was approached by Barnes & Barnes, who are well known for the song Fish Heads. And I had known some of their songs from the Dr. Demento show. And first they just asked me to record some, like a song, and I did some book readings of the books that I have in my show, and they put music to it. And then they let me know that they wanted to make a whole album. And so we worked on it for a while. I started coming up with a concept of kind of some of the things that we'd recorded. And I realized there was a certain kind of theme going on, and that if I called the album The Big Problem Does Not Equal the Solution Equals Let It Be, people could figure out what the big problem was, which was essentially what this thematic similarity was. And at the time it came out, there was no such thing as the internet, so I had a telephone number that was a dedicated telephone line for that purpose, that people would call and let be known what they thought the big problem was. And, you know, now I would just have a website, but it was a way of kind of advertising the books and letting people know how to get hold of the books. But people did genuinely call in, and lots of people, and a lot of people genuinely figured out what it was. It really isn't that complex. It's just the theme of what the various pieces and songs have in common.
We had read somewhere that you had another album completed that you didn't release. Is that true, or do you think you'll have more in the future?
It's partially true. There's an album's worth of stuff that's been recorded. There's a very small amount of work that needs to be done to it, and I've just been so involved with my films and touring, and because I was produced on the first album, it's not really my background. And one of the producers, one of the two producers that I worked with on the first album wanted to do this second album, but he wanted to sell it for a very low price to a record company. And I thought it was a bad business move, so I didn't want to do it. And he got kind of frustrated and didn't want to continue to finish the project. And it really is almost finished. So at some point, but he's really the person that was doing the music. I was doing more of the singing and had some influence on. I played a little bit here and there on something, but I'm not a musician by background. So I really need somebody to help finish producing it. And I just, because it's not what my main goal is. My main goal are really making my own films right now, and that takes really everything I've got. At some point, I do need to finish the album up. It is too bad because it's not too much more work and it could be released.
Well, you mentioned that you're really passionate about making your own films now. Is that kind of what you're sticking with, or do you see yourself going back to making other people's films?
Oh, sure. I mean, I acted in two films last year. And one is with John Cusack and Robert De Niro. And I've seen that film. It's actually an interesting film, and I felt good about the work in it. And another one was a Polish film, period film, that it's a Polish language film, and I play a German speaking person, but I don't speak German, so it was a real memorization task. It was a lot of work, but yes, no, that's how I still make my living. I make my living acting in other people's films, and I'm glad to do it. You know, I'm grateful to do it. It's what enables me to take the time to continue touring with my own films and, you know, essentially funding my own films. I've recouped on my films by the touring that I've done, but when I say recoup, really most of the recoupment is by the live shows that I perform. I've really only recouped 25% of the amount that I paid to make the films by the box office, and 25% by the books, 50% by the live shows. But ultimately, that didn't really matter. The most important thing was that I just could justify to continue making my own films. So the fact that I've made the money back is what was important. It doesn't really matter that it wasn't by the box office itself.
Right.
But it's, you know, of course, a huge part of what the show is, even though the live show is the way I really bring in the most of the recoupment money.
Well, when you are looking for other projects, you know, to appear in, is there sort of a criteria that you go through, or how do you decide on which projects to do and which ones to pass on?
It's changed at different times. There have been times, of course, you know, when I started acting when I was 13 years old, it really was something that I had decided as a kind of a prudent business decision. I approached it as a business. I thought it was something I could do. But it was, I'd grown up around the industry, so I understood things about it. And I saw how things worked with my father, and I thought this seemed like it could be a good business to step into. And I'm glad it was a good decision. I feel like, you know, it's been particularly fun to make my own films, and I enjoy acting in other people's films as well. But I look at that as kind of a craft. I learned at a relatively young age, and so I'm glad to step in and help other filmmakers, you know, do what they want to do when I can be helpful by acting in their films. The thing that I really get passionate about artistically are my own filmmaking at this point. But I'm very grateful and happy to be a part of, you know, an artistic production and or whatever you want to call it, any kind of production, and it's a good business and an enjoyable thing to be part of. I forgot what you asked originally, though.
Well, yeah, you pretty much answered it. Just you know, how you decided which projects characters you gravitate towards.
That's what I was about to say. Was sometimes, you know, it's purely business. You know, sometimes that's my income, and particularly funding my own films, it's expensive, and there have been times when I got a script, I knew there was an offer, and before I opened the script, I said, okay, whatever this is, I'm going to do this movie, because I needed to work.
Yeah.
And so there have been some movies and I just looked at it as an assignment, and then I went and I did what I could do. You know, usually, even things like that, there was something fun about it. If I really didn't feel like I could, there was no way for me to do anything with it at all that would have no entertainment value or anything, then I will pass. You know, I always look to see if there's something that I feel like I can make it work, that I feel like I can come off at least entertaining in some way, or ideally where something can actually be really genuinely interesting and good. But, you know, sometimes these past two films I just was mentioning, I liked the material and I had a good time working on those films, both the Polish language film and the film with, it's called Motel, the film with John Cusack and Robert De Niro both in it. And that was interesting material. And I've seen the film, and I actually thought it was an interesting film as well. So, you know, these past two films, I liked the characters and I liked the material. But it isn't always like that. You know, I was happy to be working on those. Of course, I wanted to work as well. But so sometimes it comes along and it works out that it's something you want to do, and you need to work, and then sometimes you just need to work, and then, but like I say, I would never do a film where I knew there was nothing I could do to make it work. It wouldn't be worth the money for me. I'd rather, I don't know what, you know, tour with my films, and yeah. I don't make as much money when I tour with my own films. So that just is like treading water, so to speak. But, you know, and it's hard work. I don't mean to complain. Touring lifestyle, which I've been living these past 8 years, essentially, particularly in the last six, it's a lot. It can be exhausting. I need to take genuine breaks from it.
Sure.
But I worked very hard on the films, and it's been a way to genuinely self-distribute. So I'm glad to be doing it. You know, I'm glad to be showing the films to people, and it's ultimately an interesting thing to do. I certainly don't mean to be complaining. It's a privileged lifestyle, but it can be exhausting at the same time. Like, I've already been touring. I'm in the midst of touring right now, and I was just in the Czech Republic overseeing the set building less than a week ago. So I'm still a little jet lagged, even as we speak at this moment.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to you coming to Minnesota, and it's been great having you on. Is there anything you want to leave us with, or any parting words?
I've been in Minnesota a number of times, and I'm looking forward to this will be the first time I'm showing Everything Is Fine here. And the Heights Theater, I've been told, is a very nice venue. I'm looking forward to showing it there. The last time I was at the Oaks, which I guess was torn down. It's too bad. It was a really beautiful venue. I showed What Is It there a number of years ago. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody here in Minnesota. I've had great shows here before. And people can find out more information on CrispinGlover.com. I have an official Crispin the Hooligan Glover Facebook page and a Crispin Glover Twitter. So whichever way people like to get their information, signing up on the newsletter gets the most information for the shows on CrispinGlover.com. But the other thing, sometimes people don't like so many emails. So, you know, Twitter and Facebook are also good things. But I really appreciate you guys having me on, and I hope I'll see you at the show tomorrow. Come up and say hello.
Yeah, we're big fans, and thanks a lot for being on with us.
Yeah, thank you, too. Please come up and say hello tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. you keep playing where you shouldn't be playing. You keep thinking that you'll never get you burned. I just found me a brand new box of magic, and when it knows you ain't got time to learn. And these boots are ready for walking, and that's just what they'll do.
Ready, boots, start walking.
Birthday, everyone wished me good luck, so I got up on the table. messages on my machine. I felt very clean. I felt very clean. I erased the messages on my machine, and the tape was clean. And the tape was clean. Then I made a telephone call, and I was mean. So I apologized, I felt obscene. I felt obscene. I brushed my teeth, the sink was dirty underneath. I could smell it, you could tell. I saw my face in the mirror. I sprayed it and it was clearer. My expression showed smell. My expression showed smell. I went to the bedroom and I fell asleep. In my dreams I was a creep. In my dreams I was a creep. And when I awoke, the first thing I spoke was clean. I fired my associates and started anew. Women are sweet and girls are honey, but beat your meat and save your money.
I'm an awe, throw, manipulator. I play with myself, I'm a masturbator. I strut on by the corner hall and walk into the grocery store. These lit pages of their magazine are accompanied by their Vaseline. The lubrication is for masturbation. It's high time for a celebration. Feeling proud of my slab of meat. I get into the groove, I feel the beat. I'm up against the porcelain of the sink. Things are getting funny, I start to blink. My mama comes to say, you asleep? I freeze, I don't utter a single peep. I'm an awe, toe, manip, you leader. I play with myself, I'm a cool operator. I get back to the groove, I feel the beat. Starts to stutter, I see the heat. The fine clean girl at the Beverly Center is looking real good in a tight fit sweater. The shiny material of a slack start getting to me.
Okay, relax.
I drop a Jacksonville for the looker. She bends herself over like a high class hooker. My face be a straining, I just can't stop. I'm a gritting my teeth, I'm a ready to pop. I'm an all cold manipulator.
Manipulator. I play with myself, I'm a masturbator. I look into the ceiling, I see what I know. That feeling is a reeling, I think there's a glow. I see everything so clear. I don't really the bathroom door, I be looking so cool. My mama don't know I've been touching my tool.
I'm an art tool, manipulator. I play with myself, I'm a masturbator. I'm so happy that I be a man, cause I got the whole world in my hands. I got the whole world in my hands. I'm a happy man that I be a man. I'm an art tool, manipulator. I play with myself, I'm a masturbator. I play with myself, I'm a masturbator, I'm an artist.
prove it, steal it, nail it, feel it, deal it. Feel the groove. So smooth.
Ah, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was Tons' theme song here on the Five Count. Welcome back.
Oh, yes.
That was Crispin Glover.
That was. It was a beautiful interview.
We had a chat with Crispin Glover. Just think about that?
It's pretty ridiculous when you think about it.
I was pretty stoked.
But guess what?
There's more?
Yeah, there's more. Next week is going to be even more ridiculous.
Get out of town.
Big time. First of all.
Yeah?
Next week.
Yeah?
Anniversary show.
The Five Count Anniversary.
Five Count Anniversary, 9 years. We're starting at 10 o'clock.
We've had this show on the air for 9 years?
9 years, and we're starting at 10 o'clock next week.
Holy guacamole.
I'm saying, make sure you tune in at 10 o'clock, because that's when the Five Count starts next week.
2 hours of the Five Count.
2 hours, and I know what you're saying, Dust. You're thinking to yourself, what the heck could there possibly be over the 2 hour span of the Five Count?
I was just about to ask that. What could there be?
I'll tell you what could be.
Please.
First of all, there's going to be the most rockin' radio drama you ever heard in your life.
Radio dramas?
Yes. With yours truly as a voice actor.
Are you hearing this, folks?
And you're on it as well. This is good. This is amazing, this thing. This thing, I cannot wait to air this. This is amazing stuff. Radio dramas, the Five Count is doing some voice acting. Super awesome.
The theater, the Five Count Theater Company presents?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. The Five Count Theater Company presents. Guess what else?
There's more.
Yeah, there's more.
Well, this is a 2 hour show.
Well, of course, we got to do another interview, right?
Let me tell him.
Oh, you want to tell him?
Let me tell him what's happening.
You're getting jealous that I get to tell him
let
everything.
Let me tell you, Southern Minnesota. Uh huh. Next Saturday here. On the Five Count 9 year anniversary show, holy smokes. Let me get my music first. We have a special guest joining us.
Very special guest.
His name is John C. Reilly.
Yes.
Do you know that guy?
I know who this guy is.
Also known as Dr. Steve Brule.
But in case you don't know that the Dr. Steve Brule thing.
Yeah. He was in Days of Thunder.
He was in Days of Thunder.
That's true.
Casualties of War, The Thin Red Line, Never Been Kissed.
Remember that movie Step Brothers?
Step Brothers with Will Ferrell?
He was one of the brothers.
Talladega Nights.
He was not Will Ferrell, but the other brother.
Yes.
The funnier one.
Yes. Boogie Nights, Magnolia. These are all huge blockbuster hits.
He was Dewey Cox in Walk Hard.
Yes.
Now that's going to be something special.
Yes, that guy is hilarious. He is awesome. And he's going to be on this show.
For all you youngsters out there, you may know John C. Reilly best as Wreck-It Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
All the Wreck-It kids Ralph. Love Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, seriously. This is a big deal.
And he's going to help us wreck the Five Count next Saturday.
It's awesome.
It's a 9 year Five Count anniversary extravaganza.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, Dust. The content just keeps getting more extravagant week after week. And let me just clarify.
Please.
To the listeners, we're not finished. It's not like oh, John C. Reilly is super awesome, we're done. No way, pal. We got stuff lined up even after that. That is completely and totally ridiculous. It'll blow your mind.
It's booked solid.
It's going to blow your mind. So therefore, what you need to do is go to thefivecount.com, and you need to go there regularly. Or save yourself some time. Go to iTunes or whatever little podcasting app you use on your phone. Subscribe to the podcast. Then you get weekly updates telling you all about the super sweet people that we've talked to.
It's all right there.
It's beautiful.
If you're a celebrity and you're out there listening, please get in touch with us now, and we will try our best to get you on the show sometime next year. That's how booked it is.
Yeah. Seriously, that's like not a joke at all. That's awesome. We are awesome. I am awesome. You are awesome. I now need to sleep so that I can recharge the awesomeness to keep dealing with tomorrow.
There you go. Again, go to thefivecount.com. Go to savethecrumbs.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Go to YouTube. We have a bunch of other junk. And John C. Reilly joins us next Saturday at 10 p.m.
10 p.m.
And we have a very big, exciting, special announcement to make next Saturday as well. So
yeah.
It's going to change the fabric of the Five Count as you know it.
It is. It's pretty big time. Wow.
Don't blow it.
See you next week, 10 o'clock, 9-year anniversary.
Yes, and speaking of blowing it, here's the True Punks. Thank you.
Thank you.